This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
It is my privilege to welcome Pastor David Oyedepo Jr. Give Jesus a big hand of praise.
Shall we lift our hands before the Lord and give thanks to God one more time for being in His presence again today? This is the last of the hours of visitation here at Shiloh. Let's give God thanks. Father, thank you, and blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Lord Jesus, we have come before you today full of gratitude, for you have done all things well. Our eyes are fixed on you again. We are asking, even as we have prayed, that your word will show up in our direction. We thank you because we know you have done it. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Somebody believe, say aloud, amen. Give Jesus a big hand of praise, and please, you may be seated in His presence. Hallelujah. Once again, I want to appreciate God and appreciate God's servant, my Father, for this opportunity to stand here on this exalted altar, trusting the Lord that the grace and unction that is at work upon his life will manifest in our direction again this morning in the name of Jesus. And that every one of us will depart this mountain with that ever-winning wisdom. No more losses. I said no more losses in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, sir. We'll be looking this morning at this teaching that is captioned, "The Wisdom of Scripture Makes Stars." The wisdom of Scripture makes stars. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 to 3 said, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." He said, "For darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Gentiles will come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Verse 8 says, "Who are these that fly as the cloud and as the dove to their windows?" Verse 15 says, "Though you were forsaken and hated that no man went through you," he said, "I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations." Verse 22 says, "A little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall become a strong nation. And I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time." According to this scripture, therefore, there is an accelerated program with God for the rising of stars. In these last days, God is set to raise kingdom stars. If somebody hearing me is one of them, say aloud, "I am here." That is God's program for the last days. And this should not be strange, because Jesus himself is described as the bright and the morning star. Revelation 22 and verse 16. This same Jesus is the living word of God. That is the word in motion or action. John chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And verse 14 of the scripture puts it this way. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Speaking of Jesus Christ. So Jesus was, or Jesus is revealed to us in scriptures as the Word himself. As the Word himself. And the Word himself was described as the bright and the morning star. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we discover that Jesus' life was characterized by engaging with the Word. John 20 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Concerning you and me, as the Father sent me, so send I you." So if Jesus was the Word in action, then you and I are ordained to put the Word into action. It is in walking in the light of the Word that stars rise on the earth. Please hear this. No man can make himself great. Everyone's greatness is a product of the making of God. But God makes men who follow his word. Matthew chapter 4 verse 19, he said, follow me and I will make you. I will make you. I will make you. Somebody hearing my voice this morning, you are going to be the next to be made. I say you are going to be the next to be made. That's why following the commandment of scriptures is what secures one's place in space. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, it said there, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and observe to do all his commandments, which I command this day, it said the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. So our placement is a product of our obedience. Our commitment to following the commandment of scriptures is what positions us in the high places of the earth. Following the dictates, following the instructions, following the commandments. That's what causes us to ride on the high places. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning from verse 9 to 14, the Bible tells us there, concerning people of Israel, it says, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He said, he found him in a desert land, in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him and kept him as the apple of his eyes. He said, as an eagle stirred up a nest and fluttered over her young and spread abroad her wings and taketh them, beareth them on her wings. He said, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He was not mixing God with anything. He was going directly after every commandment of God. What was the result of it? He said, he made him to ride on the high places. So our place in space is a product of our commitment to the commandment of scriptures. For somebody hearing my voice this morning, I see grace coming upon each one of us to commit to every command of scriptures. If you believe it, say a loud amen. And that's what we see in the example of Jesus. He was constantly and continuously committing himself to every instruction that came from God. John chapter 5 verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. His commitment was to whatever God desired. And what was the result of it? In the book of Philippians chapter 2, beginning from verse 8 all the way down to verse 11. The Bible tells us there concerning Jesus. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Following what God desired, what God demanded. Even the death of the cross. It says, and wherefore God has so highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. He was exalted because he was obedient. Our commitment to the commandment of God is what ultimately determines and defines our placement in the adventure of life. I see each one of us today receiving grace to get committed to every divine commandment in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what makes a man, makes a woman a wonder to Israel world. We saw it in the life of Jesus, and it is the same with us. If we are going to end up as wonders to our world, then we must get committed to his word. Whatever his word dictates is what makes us wonders to our world. Committing ourselves to the dictates of the word is what turns each one of us to a wonder to our world. Therefore, it becomes important that we be aware of what we can refer to as overwise syndrome. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 16, the Bible says, do not be overwise. Don't make yourself overwise. Don't make yourself overwise. Here in Nigeria, there's something we call I too know. ITK syndrome. I too know. There are some people who carry themselves with a sense of having acquired all.
haven't understood all, haven't comprehended all. But here is one thing that I've discovered. In the adventure of life, the more you know, the more aware you are of how much you don't know. In fact, the proof of ignorance is the assumption of knowledge. That's the proof of ignorance. Even in the natural world, the higher you go in learning, the more narrow you are in learning. In primary school, children take all manner of subjects. If you have a child in primary school and they bring their notebooks to you, subjects of every kind, there's nothing they don't study. Because primary school is primary knowledge. Primary knowledge is general knowledge. And general knowledge leaves you at a primary level. Then secondary school, the first 3 years of secondary school, particularly here in Nigeria, you begin to take also still general knowledge. So they call it junior secondary. That is, you have not yet attained unto proper secondary. When you go to the second batch of 3 years, they now break you into classes. Why? You are going higher in knowledge now. They are telling you, look, if you are in science, you are science. If you are in art, you are in art. You cannot know everything. Be aware that there are too many things you don't know. When you finish from secondary school and you enter into the university, then they give you a course. They now ask you, what course are you studying? So he says, I'm studying economics. I'm studying microbiology. When he goes to his master's, they further narrow it. When you go to the PhD level, it is further narrowed. What does that mean? A certificate is an identification of the point of knowledge and the vastness of ignorance. That's the purpose of a certificate. When they say you know engineering, what they mean is that you don't know medicine. What they mean is that you don't know veterinary science. What they mean is that you don't know any other area except medicine. So a certification is actually an identification of the narrow point of knowledge and the vastness of ignorance. So for a man to think he knows all is to prove he knows none. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, look at it very closely. It said, if any man think that he knows anything, that is the evidence that he doesn't know anything as he ought to know. That is the evidence. So genuine knowledge identifies the reality of vast ignorance. That is why the wise are the ever learning. Because they recognize that there is too much that they don't know. God's servant has said it this way. God is so deep that only shallow men think they know enough of him. So deep. So we must beware of overwise syndrome. I've been born again for a long time. I've been walking with God for a long time. There is too much to know in God than you know now. Romans 11 verse 33. Oh, the depth, both of the riches, of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. Whatever you found out is a minute part of what is available in him. What should that do in you and I? It should create a hunger for more knowledge, a hunger for more discovery, a hunger for more wisdom, a hunger for more depth, a hunger for more insight, a hunger for more revelation. But it's important that we also recognize that what makes stars is not just the knowing or the discovery of the light, but walking in the light. Following the dictates, not just knowing the dictates. That means that what decorates our lives is how much we do with how much we know. how much we do with how much we know. That's what shows us as wonders to our world. How much we do with how much we know. And that's why if you look through scripture, you discover that the wise man is described as one who does not only know, but that does. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 and 25. He said, he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. He does not just hear it, but he does it. So wisdom is more about application than acquisition. It's more about application than acquisition. And if you check through all scriptures, you will discover that so many giants of scriptures were made out of the virtue of wisdom. We highlight a few of them quickly for the purpose of this teaching. Number one is Isaac. And yesterday we were exposed to how that Isaac was a man that engaged the practice and mystery of meditation. Genesis chapter 24 verse 63. Isaac went and meditated in the field in the evening time. As a result of engaging with that mystery, wisdom was provoked inside of him that brought the giant in him out. Within 1 year, Isaac went from a non-entity to a celebrity. In the book of Genesis chapter 26, we are told there how the Lord appeared unto Isaac, verse 1 to 3, and then verse 12 to 14, how that Isaac became the envy of the Philistines within 1 year. Why? Because the wisdom of God was provoked as he heard what God said and he did what God said. Second example is Joseph. And we've talked about Joseph so much also in this at Shiloh here. Joseph was a man that engaged and operated with the wisdom of God, and wisdom promoted his star. Joseph was brought out of the prison by his gift. But Joseph was placed on the throne by wisdom. The star in Joseph was provoked to shine on the basis of wisdom. Number three example we have is the example of Daniel. Daniel was a captive in the land of Babylon. But by the wisdom of God at work in Daniel, he was catapulted to unmatchable relevance. Daniel chapter 1 verse 17 and verse 21. We see how that God gave them wisdom among other things. And Daniel began to display that wisdom in chapter 2 of Daniel verse 16 to 19. And by verse 46 of that same scripture, the Bible tells us how that Nebuchadnezzar bowed down his face and worshipped him. Like was prophesied yesterday, we are coming to this era where the kings of the world will be bowing to the wisdom of the children of God. If you are among those, say aloud, amen. So the star of Daniel was catapulted on the basis of wisdom. Number four was Job. Job was the greatest of all men in the East. Job chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. And what made Job divine secrets? Call it divine wisdom. Job 29 and verse 4. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, operating in divine secrets was what catapulted Job to the realm of supernatural relevance. Number five example is Paul the Apostle. Paul was a man operating in strange frequency of wisdom. 2 Peter 3 verse 15 down to verse 16. The Bible says, on account of the long suffering of our Lord, the salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom that is given to him, has written unto you. And verse 16, even some things that are hard to be understood. He was operating at a complex level of wisdom. And that dimension of wisdom catapulted him to the top. Somebody hearing my voice this morning, you are the next star that will be catapulted by wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ. I say you are the next star that will be catapulted by wisdom.
in the name of Jesus Christ.
But like we said, wisdom is not just acquisition of knowledge, but application of knowledge. However, that means that wisdom begins with the access one has to the secrets of God. So how can we access divine secrets? Let's look at a few things here from scriptures, and I trust that the Holy Ghost will give us understanding. Number one is by the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Psalm 25 verse 14. The Bible said the secret of God is with them that fear him, and he will show them his salvation. We must come to recognize that when we talk about the secret of God, the wisdom of God, the Bible says that it is hidden in a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. This wisdom cannot be accessed by the natural or carnal man. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And one of the vital qualifiers to make a man gain access to the secret of God is the qualifier of the fear of God. Quickly this morning, what is the fear of God? Number one, it is to hate evil. To hate evil. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So it's important that we come to recognize that when it comes to walking in the fear of God, the man who truly fears God hates evil. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. The Bible makes us understand there. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You cannot claim to fear God and be part of evil. So the fear of God has to do with our reaction to evil. It is when a man hates evil that that man can truly be said to fear God. That means if one has tolerance for sin, it is an indicator of the lack of the fear of God. It is an indicator of the lack of the fear of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. The Bible tells us there, it says that we are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. Hate evil. React against evil. That is one of the evidences of genuine access to the fear of God. To the wisdom, to the fear of God. So you can't claim to fear God if you accommodate sin. There are some people who say, I don't do anything bad, but you are around many things bad. That means you have accommodation capacity for evil. That is a demonstration of the lack of the fear of God. The fear of God is to hate evil. God's servant has shared this testimony many times. He said, as you know, years ago he was working in a particular office, and he came and saw that the boss in the office had written a requisition concerning a trip that they made, and he knew that that trip was not made, meaning there are some allowances that should come for the journey. He said he was outside there in the secretary's office when he saw the paper and started shouting. They didn't go anywhere. This paper must not go. The man was inside the office there, and he was outside his office. That was the boss. But to hate evil is to fear God. You see, so many people have tolerance for things that are evil, and they claim to fear God. That's why the fountain of wisdom seems to dry up. When there is no fear for God, the wisdom of God dries up in the life of man. It dries up. So there must be a hatred for evil. A hatred. Psalm chapter 101 and verse 7. Look at what the psalmist says here. It says, he that walketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. And he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. To hate evil. That is what it means to fear God. Secondly, the fear of the Lord is reverence for God. Reverence. That is living one's life in honor, in reverence, in respect for God. When you are taking decisions, ask yourself, how does God feel? When you are taking actions, ask yourself, how will God feel about the things that I'm doing? About the things that I'm saying? Even about the things that I am thinking? Because evil starts from the heart. It is living in reverence for God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. He said, having received the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. It is reverence for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. The Bible says that we are to do all things to the glory of God. That is, everything should be about honoring God. Yes, we live in a corrupt, a crooked world, but the Bible says we are to shine as lights. Philippians 2:15. So in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation, we are ordained to live and shine as lights. This is why we are told in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 16. We are told there, it says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. Titus 2:14, the Bible says that he has redeemed unto himself a people from all iniquity to purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of doing the things that are right, passionate about honoring God, passionate about reverencing God. Shout hallelujah. That's what it means to fear God. And when one registers for the fear of God, that person becomes a custodian of the secrets of God. For the secrets of God are with them that fear him. They are with them that fear him. They are with them that fear him. Number two access that we have to the secrets of God is prayer of inquiries. Prayer of inquiries. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, the Bible says, call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you. So God responds to our inquiries. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 8. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. It's important to note that those who don't ask questions are not entitled to answers. If we are going to make much out of our adventure with God, we must learn to engage with prayers of inquiries. Years ago, with God's servant at a particular location, and in the morning he will come out, and while we share together, he will share the things that God told him. In the evening again we will gather, and he will share the things that God told him again between morning and evening, and by the next day again we will gather, and something again has been said. So I went back. I said, Lord, every time we come, oh, the Lord said, why are you speaking to him all the time? Because every one of us are children of God. Is that not true? Everybody that is born again is a child of God. But how come you are talking to him all the time? And I got an answer I will never forget. He said, because he asks me questions. You see, most of us walk by assumptions instead of asking questions. We walk by calculations instead of asking questions. We walk by permutations instead of asking questions. We even walk by suggestions instead of asking questions. You are not entitled to an answer if you are not asking a question. The Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 19 and 20, it said, when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him with a voice. Moses spake. He requested something and God answered him with a voice. It is those who ask questions that are qualified for answers. Let's take note that God is not in the business of heaping up our prayers, but giving answers to our prayers. Psalm 65 and verse 5, he said, with terrible things in righteousness, he said, wilt thou answer us? So he is interested in answering our prayers. So we must learn to engage with prayers of inquiries. With prayers of inquiries. And like we're taught this morning at the Shiloh Prayer Hour, even your thought, God responds to it. So you carry your questions in your heart. And all through the day, as you are walking through the day, the question before the Lord, Lord, this is the area where I require your direction. It is going on in your heart, and God responds with a voice. For somebody, even before you depart from Shiloh, the clear voice of the Lord will sound in your direction. But to secure answers to our inquiries, number one, be specific. We must be specific in our demands. We must be specific in our demands. David was specific. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 to 8. Shall I pursue? Will I overtake? And the Lord answered specifically to a specific question. Pursue, you will surely overtake, and without fail, you will recover all. Secondly, we must be in the Spirit. We must be in the Spirit. Revelations 1 verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard. We must be in the Spirit. Number three, we must be loaded with the Word. We must be loaded with the Word. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell richly in you. Why is it important that it's dwelling richly in you? So that it can give you access to all wisdom. In Psalm chapter 29, beginning from verse 1 all the way down to verse 4, the Bible tells us, it said, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. He said, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. What are the waters? The waters are the Word. Ephesians 5:26. So the Word, when the Word is loaded in your heart, the voice is louder in your spirit. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. So keep loading your spirit man with God's Word. As God's Word dwells richly in you, his voice sounds louder to you. So our access to answers in prayers of inquiry require that we are loaded with the Word. Number four, we must approach God with expectation. For surely there is an end, and an expectation shall not be cut off. Proverbs 23 and verse 18. And five, we must be saturated with appreciation, praise, and worship. Be saturated. There is an environment that is conducive for God, and that's the environment of appreciation, praise, and worship. Philippians 4 verse 6, he said, be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. Make your request known unto God. If you check it, when you are making inquiries from God, when your heart is saturated with worship, with praise, suddenly there is an opening to pick what God is saying. There's an opening. You can receive your answers to your inquiries. So saturate your spirit man. Saturate your spirit man with praise, with worship. And when that's the case, it will be flowing out of you ceaselessly. In words, in songs, you are just glorifying God. Even in action. You sit down and then your hands are just waving to heaven sometimes. Why? Adoring him, celebrating him. It's an outflow of your spirit, man. And that's what causes us to be able to pick the answers to our inquiries. If you want to pick, then you must ensure that you position appropriately. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We have heard the testimony before. God's servant was coming from town, Rajobak, our church in town, coming to Canaan land with another man of God inside the car. And from when they drove to when they got here, by the time they got here, he said, the man of God looked at him and said,
Sir, from when we left to when we got here, you have said, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 72 times. It was not that he was trying to do it. It was that it was flowing from his spirit. You see, when a man is full of complaint, he'll be full of complication. Instead of finding solutions and answers, you'll be finding confusion and devastation. But when you are full of appreciation, you will not be lacking of answers. Please hear this. Anytime you come to a crossroad, don't complain, appreciate. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Why? Is it so that you can remain in that thing? No, so that you can turn that thing. At the corner of the road, yes, Lord, what direction do I go? But then just switch and begin to give God glory. You will see the channel of heaven open on your direction. I see that becoming somebody's experience from now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three key to accessing secrets from above is engage the help of the Holy Spirit. Engage the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10. He said, he searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So if you are looking for a secret that will enhance your value and your pursuit on the earth, engage his help. He teaches us beyond what anyone can teach. Now listen carefully. Even when a man is teaching you, watch out for what the Holy Ghost will be showing you. Because inside the teaching, there is a teaching for you. There is something he's saying to you. This is why the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 30 verse 20 and verse 21, the Bible says, although the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the cup of affliction, he said, yet your teacher shall not be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers and your ears will hear a word behind you. Your teacher is in front, but there is a voice behind. That's the Holy Ghost. They are teaching you beyond what the man is saying. Teaching you. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. The teacher. The one showing you what you need to hear. Many of us, for example, inside Shiloh, we came with certain requests. I know that's been my own experience. Certain things that trusting God for direction, for clarity, for instruction. And in the midst of a teaching, one of the teachings here, God Simon was teaching, and in the midst of the teaching, it wasn't something he said, but it was the voice of the Spirit using what he said to show me what I was asking for in a flash. So engage the help of the Holy Ghost. Listen, never approach the word without his help. The secret of God is beyond the intellect of man. So engage his help. So that he can open you up. He said, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. How? As by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's the Holy Ghost that opens us up to the secrets of God that catapult us to the heights of life. So we engage his help. We engage his help. He will open the deep things of God, excavate them, and pull the treasures out on our behalf. I liken the Holy Ghost to a rig. If you are going to pull out oil from the depth of the sea, you will need a rig. The oil is there, the treasures are there, but they are beyond your ability to pull them out until the rig is engaged. You see, the Lord has deep things inside of him. The rig to gain it is the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, show me. And then he begins to excavate the treasures of scriptures, the treasures of God, and download them into your spirit man. That will become somebody's experience from now. And finally, number four key to accessing the secrets of God is searching the scriptures. Searching the scriptures. Daniel 9:2. I, Daniel, understood by books. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There is no matter you cannot settle in the word. Hello? There is no matter. Let's settle down with God's word. Let's settle down with God's word. I've shared this before years ago. My son was very young. At a point, one day, he just started to stammer very heavily. Stammering very heavily. So I got to God's word and I saw how Jesus touched the tongue of a man and the tongue was loose. I touched his tongue and it was loose. I touched his tongue and I said, I command you to be loose. He was still stammering. I said, Lord, what's going on? I went back to the word and he said, if you say to this mountain, be removed, be cast to the sea. If you doubt not in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. I said, I already commanded the tongue to be loose. Why is it not loose? He said, if you say to this mountain, if you say to this mountain, I was setting the scriptures. If you say, he said, you will have what you say. Suddenly the Holy Ghost opened my eyes. He said, are you the one stammering? I said, no. Who is stammering? I said, it's my son. I said, now tell him now to begin to say, I can speak clearly. He started saying it, the tongue loosed. There is no trace of stammering. Set the scriptures, you can settle any matter. I see somebody here experiencing the rising of Israel star. Rise on your feet with me this morning. Lift your hand before the Lord. Lord, I receive grace to put your word to work this morning. Lift your voice and pray that prayer. I receive grace to put your word to work, even as I've received this morning. I receive grace to put your word to work, even as I received this morning. Thank you, Father, and blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say aloud, amen. Let's celebrate God in praise.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.